Welcome to the Liars Club. This is where we take our guests, we tell them to give us the truth, give us a lie, we figure out which is which. I'm Jessica Wellington.
I'm Felicia Michaels.
And you're about to get lied to.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And oh my God, Jessica, in the room here at the comedy store down in the podcasting area, we have a whole bunch of handsome going on, don't we?
We do.
We have some amazing guests. I have invited today a gentleman who I think is one of the sharpest comedians I've seen in a long time, both with family humor, humor about himself, but also political humor. Please give it up for Mr. Tamer Katan.
Hey. Yay. Oh, thanks, man. That's a nice compliment. I appreciate it.
I love how you're saying how sharp he was, and his eyes are barely open.
That's because he's always smiling. He's always smiling.
I'm smiling, and also I love the weed, man.
Okay. Well, there we go. There we go. How about you, Jessica? Who did you bring today?
I brought I love this guy. He is hilarious. He's a paid regular at the Comedy Store. He's also doing this fun dance show coming up that I'm really excited about. As soon as I saw it in the Belly Room, I said, that's going to be on TV because it's amazing.
Really? Awesome. And oh, nice.
He's done the roast battles, judging that. And he's amazing. It's Justin Martindale.
Yay. Hey, welcome, Justin Martindale. Have you actually been the judge on roast battle and participated in roast battle at the same time?
Oh, no. I don't battle, I judge.
Oh, yeah. I did the battle once and against Bob Golub, and I don't know if you guys know who Bob Golub is, but he's an older fella and he's a ex-boxer and all that, and I fucking lost to Bob Golub. And then I went to all the judges afterwards. I'm like, do you guys ever do that? And they're like, fuck no, we never do the roast battle. I'm like, I'm the idiot.
So, you for lost you. To a guy named Golub.
I know. And I thought my jokes were good. I wrote jokes about Bob's an ex-boxer. His head has been hit on more than Khloe Kardashian's clit, by a black guy. You know what I mean? Like, nothing. I got nothing. Anyway, there we go. We usually start off with a theme, but we've been trying to be more conversational. And I had never really known that much about Justin. And I went and looked on your site. And on your agent's site, and I didn't know you were the last comedian picked by Mitzi Shore to be a regular here at the Comedy Store. I mean, I thought that's what an amazing thing to have on your resume. And I'm totally fucking serious,
no,
by the
I
way.
Am. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Because you're looking at me like, shut up.
No, I'm just like, it just gets like nostalgic.
Yeah, it does, right?
Yeah. That's super sweet.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So you knew her?
No.
No. You never talked to her at all?
I talked to her, let's see, I think it was the 40th anniversary of this place,
a
couple years ago. And it was like the last time I think she was brought around. And I just remember going up to her and like holding her hand. And like I grabbed her hand and I looked at her and she just kind of didn't really, she was kind of out of it. And I was just like, thank you so much for everything. And she just kind of like squeezed my hand and that's all I needed.
Aww. Yeah.
But yeah, no, like when I got past, she like got out of there. Like she saw what she needed to see and was like, okay, bye, and left. I was such an idiot back then.
How old were you back then?
I was old enough.
Okay, all right.
I could get into the club. But it was like right after Michael Jackson died. So it was like the day after
that.
Oh,
wow.
And then it was just like, like one of those nights where everybody's here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just like everyone's like just cool and hanging out. And I remember going over to Tommy, who was the booker.
He who shall not be named.
Yeah. Yeah. Voldemort. But he was always nice to me. And he was just like, you have just been passed as a paid regular. And I was like, okay. Like, I had no idea.
Oh,
like,
really?
I had, like, no idea what it was.
Right?
I was like, okay.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
How long had you been doing comedy?
Let's see. October 2008 to June 2009.
There you
so
go.
Very, very quick.
Wow.
And I was just doing, like monthly shows around town. I never did, like, an open mic or anything like that.
Right. Wow, so you really had no clue. Yeah.
At all.
Now looking,
and here we are.
But now looking back, it must feel like, wow, it's probably better you had no clue, right?
It was definitely boot camp, that's for sure.
Yeah, being past that quick, you'd have
to. You're just, and everyone hates you. And everyone's like, who the hell are you? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know my voice.
Yeah.
And then, you get like those 115 spots for a couple years. And
yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It really it does help you grow so
much.
Oh,
yeah, 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 yeah. You have to.
Yeah.
I remember even when they were like, so yeah, you're going to call in your avails and like every Monday and everything. And I was just like, oh, God, I have to do this like all the time now?
Oh, my God. Oh, that's, my God.
I was like, oh, man.
That's why everybody hated you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was like, oh, it's a job. That's crazy. Yeah.
I'm so glad I didn't know you then.
Yeah. I was just a little prick.
I would just run after you with a megaphone, just yelling bad words at you.
Yeah. There was a time when that did happen. And then you realize, oh, wait, I appreciate this and the opportunity that was given to me.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we were going to have Jenny Yang on today, and she couldn't come today. And what I really wanted to talk about, and I think Justin will absolutely be able to jump in on this too, is we normally don't do topical stuff, but John McCain died. And I kind of got pissed at some of my comedy friends on social media for the first time a little bit, because everyone was going back and forth, especially on Facebook, about how McCain was a bad guy, and yeah, I get it. But saying that if any liberals had an ounce of empathy for what he's been through or his death, then that means you're a fake ally. And
what?
I was like,
oh,
what
shut
the
up.
Fuck
that's so
is
stupid.
Ugh, I'm so over garbage.
Yeah, I'm just so over everyone being so divided all the time. And like,
wasn't he like a POW or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a mate, like. For a very long time.
Republicans usually
like
respect
3 years
that.
Or something. Well, yeah, and that's the thing, yeah.
Not
yeah.
only that, he was supposed to be released from a prison camp, and he said, no, I don't want to be released. I want others.
He wants to stay with his friends.
Yeah, he wants to stay with his friends.
His comrades.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think like, didn't it have something to do with the order of captured is the order of release of a POW or something like that? And
something
he was
like,
going to be
yeah.
able to go early because
his
father
of his dad,
was
exactly.
An admiral in the Navy or something.
Yeah.
And then he picked Sarah Palin as a running mate.
Yeah. I know. That's where it's like, why did you do that? But that's how panicky the Republican Party was. I don't want to make this political, but what I was trying to get to, in a sense, is how do you guys talk about what you're feeling on stage when it comes to what's happening around you without letting anger get in on
it.
Oh,
it's so funny.
Because when I think
that.
About your political comedy, it's so fucking smooth.
Yeah,
and
he's good.
No,
oh, thanks,
there's
you guys.
No
yeah.
anger attached to it, but it hits the target perfectly.
Oh, thank you. That mean, it's so, I had a conversation. It's so weird that you bring this up because it's literally a conversation I had with one of my friends at when we were at JFL. Uh-huh. And it was, I don't only get angry, I have anger management issues. Mm-hmm. Like, I was a headbutter when I was a kid.
Jesus.
Like, I headbutted
really?
People. Look, my dad taught me how to take a punch. He didn't teach me how to throw one. And so, like, when you're...
So you were the butt rammer?
I was the person who would headbutt people.
And the headbutter.
I would headbutt people. Because here's what... I was a rammer, I was a butter. I was the butt and the ram. Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like me in college.
It was Whew. Crazy.
The temperature just went up in here.
But it was so with me, like I have real anger issues, and so I've noticed if I write angry, there's too many holes in my bit, and it, all of a sudden I become much more prone to heckling. Mm-hmm. But if I write calm, I can still perform it with some anger, and it's more bulletproof.
Uh-huh.
So anger actually doesn't help me write; it helps me perform,
that makes
but it
a
doesn't
lot
help
of
me
sense.
Write.
Yeah. Do you feel like when you guys are doing comedy, that you have to get past being initially angry in order to perform it? Like, I used to have this bit about when I got divorced, and I was so fucking angry at this, and because it was a pretty terrible story that happened in my divorce. But once I moved past the pain of that, then the bit suddenly started to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
but I mean, it says a lot about me that I committed to that bit for 6 fucking months before it worked. That's how angry I was.
That's
but once
good.
I got past it, it totally started to work.
Absolutely.
Right? It's hard to be angry in the moment, don't you think?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, and I feel like everybody's waiting to get triggered. Like everyone's just on bated breath, just like, offend me so I can say something and, you know, I'll look like an asshole, but at least I got the chance to say, speak up or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I kind of, when I do it, when I'm on stage, I kind of poke fun at the ridiculousness of everything else. Not political.
Uh-huh.
Like just how stupid everything else is, because I just feel like it's so saturated right now and just, I mean, you can't not escape it. Like, Twitter to the news to it's everywhere and it's just too much, and I just feel like people now are just, I feel like at the beginning of the election and or afterwards at the beginning I felt like it was very topical and
yeah
sure
like with you I feel like what you say is like is it brings like a sense of smarts to it, whereas like if I don't really know everything, I mean I'm aware but I can't really voice an opinion really on stuff like that because it'll just I just sound like an idiot or I don't know how to like word it properly, much like this podcast because I'm like how does English work. But like yeah, and I've seen, you know, I've seen comics go on the road and they record their sets or whatever and you know they get heckled and stuff like that, but then yeah, they use it as like, look, I got heckled, and you're just kind of like, okay, like
right yeah,
that's not, it should not be the goal, you know.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when you're bombing you're praying that someone heckles you. Yeah. You're like, please
yeah
help me from myself.
I don't go political. Yeah, I really.
Yeah,
I don't.
You're not political at all.
No, because I, like you say, I don't have the smarts for it. I can't even say words.
Yeah.
Yeah. How am I gonna?
Good talk, Jessica.
You know, I've been trying to. I really don't know how to. Can't say the word mediocre.
Sure.
Mediocre.
That was an effort. Yeah.
Oh, I hate fried mediocre.
Ooh, I love mediocre.
And I don't want to.
That joke's for Andrew. He's from Oklahoma.
Know, I'm not. Great at either one. I don't know that I've given up on politics. I remember I went in the Air Force and then I remember calling my dad and I'm like, so since I'm in the Air Force, do I have to vote Republican? You know?
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know. I thought, oh, I'm in the Air Force. I'm in the military, so I must be Republican now.
Oh.
Wow. Really?
I did. Yeah. Wow. I mean, now I see more and I have issues that I'm for and against. I'm more lean that way than being completely political either way.
Well, I wasn't that political in my 20s, but in my 30s, I started to be more about it. I get really angry when it comes to issues of like taking food stamps away and stuff like that because I grew up on welfare and I ate a lot of government cheese.
Right.
I didn't starve when I was 14, but I think I only two shits that summer. You know what I mean? That's how much cheese I ate as a kid.
The only thing that's really like making me upset about this whole John McCain thing is that, you know, he is like the ultimate veteran, I think. Like
100%.
Right. And like. Yeah. You have all these, you know, Trumpers or whatever who are just like, well, no. And I'm like, what? Like,
why can't we unite on one thing?
Like, yeah. Granted, he made some mistakes, and he even said he made mistakes. You know, his state that he represented was the last state that recognized Martin Luther King Day as a holiday. So it's like, yeah, we know he kind of, like, messed up. But then, like, as he got older, I mean, I feel like, you know, with the whole healthcare thing, and he was just like, no, this is absolutely horrible, and thumbs it down.
I feel like the Liberal Party and like the Democrats were trying to say, hey, come on, everybody, let's just hug. And then the Republicans are like, we ain't gay. We don't hug.
We don't eat your gay cakes. God.
Yeah, you should not be voting at all, Jessica, is what I'm saying.
We ain't gay and we don't hug.
Finally, somebody has summarized it in the most perfect way.
I didn't want to have to say it, but I said it.
Yeah, you need to put that on a shirt and sell it in the red states.
I've been waiting.
Selling at a Walmart in South Carolina. We ain't gay and we don't hug. Vote Republican.
That is hilarious, Jessica. All right, well, here at the Liars Club, we ask our guests to tell two stories. I don't know how to follow up. We ain't gay and we don't hug, so we just got to get right to the fucking game. So we ask our guests to tell two stories, one the truth and one a lie, and we rotate it around. Who would like to start?
I don't know.
I think that means you. I think you start.
I just tell one of them?
You'll just tell one of them. It can be the lie. Don't tell us what it is, the lie or the truth. And then we'll pepper you with some questions. It might feel a little interrogating, especially with mediocre over here.
Yeah, mediocre. Mediocre.
Hashtag mediocre.
Okay, well.
That's what we're going to put on it, yeah.
Already planning it out, you guys.
So I was about 12 years old, and I grew up in Texas. And in Texas, they have, like, carnivals, but they were also, like, in parking lots. Yeah. Yes. If you've ever been to a carnival, yes. like in a
is it like the pickle festival or like the strawberry festival?
No, it's the pickle.
I'm all about the pickle festival, though.
Jessica,
it's like the delicious. Sounds like the pregnant lady
who
fair.
Hasn't been to the pickle
Which
festival?
One is pickles it? And strawberries. I can't wait.
Is it the Oprah festival?
That's what we have in my town.
So they had this they had this ride called the Zipper, and I think it's still around. So it's pretty much a cage, an iron cage,
uh-huh.
and you get in and it flips around and around
right,
and
okay.
around and around,
yes.
and you like lose all your change in your pockets and stuff like that. And so I was actually with a friend of mine. It was my friend at the time and his dad, and we went there. It was like in the afternoon. And
how old were you?
12, like 12, like 11, 12 years old.
Okay,
yeah, middle school, and. I remember we were like, oh, let's go ride the Zipper. That's gonna be our last ride we're gonna get on. And the dad like got a call and he's like, no, we have to get going. Something happened or whatever. And so I was like, man, I really want to get on the Zipper. And as we're walking out of the park, one of the fucking things flew off the rail with people in them. And everyone,
oh my god!
Started like running to it. And my friend's dad at the time was like, all right, kids, let's get in the car. We're gonna go. And I was like, holy shit! We were like just about like we saw it get loaded in. And everything was just like one of those like rickety like parking lot carnivals that
did
I was
you
like,
hear it land?
Oh like, yeah. Oh, like yeah? It like you heard like the gears shift and then all of a sudden you just hear bam and then everything.
Did it
like,
roll?
Oh, shit. Yeah. Like what? Like roll like this?
Yeah, I can see it rolling.
It started and then like as it progressed, it just went.
Oh, and did it roll on the ground when it hit?
It rolled on the ground. I didn't see if anybody like got hit or anything, but like I'm assuming.
Oh my
did
god!
Did you have any happened. Impulse to run towards it?
No, I was 11. I was like, "Fuck this nonsense!"
Really?
Yes. No.
Really?
I was like, mm-mm, "Can't get involved." But yeah.
Wow.
So you didn't think intense. Like some of my friends from school might be on there?
No.
Do you still hear the screams?
Yeah.
Well, it was definitely like a shock because you're just
yeah.
like, it's like you know, and then I was like. I remember when the Final Destination moments came out, or the Final Destination movies came out. Uh-huh. I was like, "Oh shit, this is like totally one of those things."
Yeah.
And did it? Did someone die because of this accident?
I don't remember. I feel like people were injured because I remember it being on the news that night.
Wow. Yeah. Did you hear screaming?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
When I lived in Vegas, all the time the rides are off the Stratosphere. You know the tall.
Oh
like,
yeah.
They always get stuck, and people like it. Usually, it'd be no problem if it's just at a fair, but this is dangling. Up
it's
in the
so
air
scary.
At the stratosphere, and you're dangling above the city,
yeah.
and it's frozen. And
it's the worst.
Yeah.
That's wow. the worst. It's
like
my biggest nightmare.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
You know, when you see something so unexpected and violent happen like that, I had an experience once where I was, and it was like Sunday night, coming over Squirrel Ball Center on the freeway 405, and the light was really beautiful because the sun was coming down, and it... For some reason, there wasn't that many cars on the freeway. There were some, but this motorcycle flew past me.
Uh-oh.
And then he got about 50 feet in front of me, and something just happened, whether it was a pebble or something, but the motorcycle laid down.
Oh, shit.
And when it laid down, it started spinning. So it laid down, and then it started spinning. And there was a truck, like a delivery truck, a white panel delivery truck. And from playing pool, and I'm not trying to be funny about it, you could see that the guy was going to go under one of the tires, that was the trajectory as it was spinning. And sure enough, and it happened so lickety-split, and when the guy went under there, his head got run over. You guys,
you saw somebody's head get run over,
Felicia.
It was
so horrific. It gave me an instant migraine.
Oh my god!
Like instant migraine. I picked up my cell phone and I called 911. But I kept going because I would have caused an accident. It was one
of
those things where that and. Then I think he didn't survive because they called me a couple of weeks later. Yeah, but it's so terrifying to see that as a kid would be terrifying.
Well, it's a shock too. Because
but you saw somebody's head get run over.
Yes, and I saw the blood mark for like a couple of weeks because it didn't rain for a long time.
And the word you used to set up the head crush was lickety
the
split.
Blood mark.
And lickety split, his cranium exploded across the. It's the goriest thing I've ever heard after the cutest
you guys,
phrase.
It's given me PTSD.
Yeah.
Did you have PTSD against
it, like,
carnival rides when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Like I have.
But
a...
I bet it didn't hit you right away. Because as
a kid,
see this cage and you're like, oh, that could have been us. But you don't think about, oh, there were other people on there.
Yeah, and I remember, like, my parents being like, do you need to, like, talk to anybody or anything? And I was just like, no, I'm fine. Like, I knew it was none of my friends because, like, nobody was talking about it. And it was also, like, it wasn't, like, it was busy, but it was, like, a weekday, I feel. Like, it was, like, after school we went. It was, like, near the end of when this carnival
what
closed
down.
What
town of Texas was this in?
This was in San Antonio, outside of San Antonio.
It's a little bit bigger, so maybe your parking lot fares are a lot bigger. Okay. Usually the little pop-ups don't have the zipper. That's a big ride to have.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I love that you just shared this violent, crazy thing that happened. And Jessica's still fucking all over it.
It was the first thing that popped
into
my head.
Here are my questions.
It just popped in my head. No pun intended. No.
Wow. Wow.
It's like an episode of Murder, She Wrote. Just so investigative.
So do you ever go on any kind of rides at a fair or anything?
I do, like, I'll go to, like, Six Flags or, like, actual amusement parks, but I don't. Like, I remember every time I see them, because they still have them around every now and then, like, you'll be driving down the highway or whatever, and you just look over and you're like, oh, God. It's gross.
Yeah, that's PTSD, dude. Yeah, I have PTSD from when I saw that guy's head got run over the point where there's only a few people I will drive in a car with because I don't want any hijinks or shenanigans, and most comedians are stoned, so I don't fucking play that way. Like, if you're going to drive the car, and I was hanging out with my friend Johnny the other day, and I was like, bitch, pull this car over right now. We were on the freeway. He was literally in the car for 3 minutes. I was like, nope. And I felt bad.
But you got to do what you got to do. Yeah. That's your life.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, your turn, Tamer.
That's your life.
That's your life. And go.
So hardcore.
So mine actually has to do with a girl named Felicia.
Oh, wow.
She was she was the prettiest girl in my school. Her name was Felicia.
Of course.
And it was in an area called La Puente. My dad was doing well in life, so we got to move out of East L.A. and go to La Puente, which was just as violent. But with a better house.
Okay.
But just as violent. And there's a girl named Felicia that I fell in love with at school. And one day she showed up on my street on a weekend. And I was like, oh my God, what's Felicia doing here?
What color was Felicia?
She was like Latina. But she had white girl hair.
Jessica. Jesus Christ.
She was like,
you didn't ask Justin what was the color of everybody in the fucking zipper.
It was in Texas. We know.
And That's not true.
But she was a blonde haired Latina. It makes a difference. A blonde haired Latina is like extra points.
And you went up, like, whenever you went up at the show in the Ice House, Punky was like, I was like, you're next. Felicia's up. She's like, Felicia's not fucking up. She assumed Felicia was a black girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, I assume Punky is a white woman, so.
Yeah, because of Punky Brewster.
Point. Yeah.
Right. See?
Yeah. So and tell her that next
never,
time. Like,
and there's never a woman named Punky.
I always assumed it was a parakeet. Yeah.
Punky's not a. Punky will kill everyone.
Yeah. I'm not going to say shit to Punky.
Punky's the name of a parakeet on a bottle of rum.
Yeah. I've had Punky look at me and I've been like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. She will kill you. Yeah. With one look. Yeah.
She's very funny, by the way.
She's great.
So her name is Felicia. So she's a blonde
Felicia.
Latina.
Blonde Latina shows up on my street on a weekend and I become overwhelmed. And I'm like, I have to get her attention. What do I do? And I wasn't versed in the ways of romance yet. Uh-huh. So I started to do a Papa Wheelie on my bike.
That's so fucking romantic.
Yeah, as a way to get her attention. Seriously, I'm like, this is it. And I do a pop wheelie, and I'm like, Felicia, Felicia. While I'm doing the pop wheelie, I'm just yelling her name, going, Felicia. And right then the sidewalk dips to where the driveway is. And I'm like, oh, and I like roll into a parked car and I smash my wiener and my balls.
Ew. Oh.
I fall on the ground. I was wearing white shorts. Oh. And I'm like, oh, and I'm screaming. And I look down and there was blood starting to leak from my genital area. So these kids are like, go get his dad. Not knowing that my dad was an immigrant with a drinking problem. So then my dad comes out, and there's the girl I love, and I'm laying on the ground holding my shorts, and my dad pulls off my shorts.
Oh, my God.
In front of everybody.
With your broken dick.
Holds my dick in his hand, and he goes, and he has a cigarette in the side of his mouth. He's like, you're going to need stitches. You're going to need stitches. And he just keeps rubbing my dick with his finger. 4 years. 4 years go by, and I think now we're in high school.
How old were you when
this was
happened?
Like fifth grade. So now it's like freshman prom, sophomore prom, like that.
The numbers
and I go,
work out, Jessica. Move on.
Yeah. So I go up to Felicia, and I'm like, hey, we're in this class. She's sitting in front of me. I'm sitting behind her. And I whispered to her, I'm like, hey, Felicia, do you want to go to prom with me? And she turns around and she just starts laughing. And I'm like, what? She goes, you're funny. And I'm like, thank you. And she goes, no, no, you're funny because you're asking me to prom and I saw your dad touch your dick.
Oh, wow.
Oh, she still remembered it.
She totally
yeah, she like knew the details.
That's one
she
story.
Said it that way.
She said it that way.
So you
and
have,
it was
you have PTSD.
I do.
Yeah, especially if you're fucking a girl named Felicia.
You know what I realized too? It's I've never had someone say I've never been rejected in a whisper uh-huh. before. I've always been rejected at regular volume. A whisper is worse.
Oh yeah.
For someone to say no and whisper it.
And laugh.
And laugh?
Yeah.
Oh. No, that's the worst, too. Wow. You're funny. Ew. Because
that's kind of, what's it, patronizing.
It is. Yeah.
That also.
Pandering.
Yeah.
Your dad just, what was up with, did you ever confront your dad? Like, you touched my penis when I was a fifth
He did a lot of strange things. Yeah. He did, yeah. More, I was more concerned with him beating me with my own toys than him touching my dick once.
I was afraid you were going to say, because when I stepped on a bee once, my mom. She's like, oh, I got this. And she took her tobacco out of her cigarette and put it on my bee sting and then taped it up.
Mm-hmm. Did it work?
Good to go. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Her mom also did a lot of crack.
It healed. Yeah. But I just could see him take a cigarette out of his mouth.
Sure.
Crush up the tobacco and put it on your penis.
Oh, yeah. He did. There's a lot of like immigrant solutions. I'd be like, Dad, I want to get this. We bought Bubbles one time. He's like, Bubbles, why you need Bubbles? Palmolive. Like,
right,
like
yeah.
everything. As the
he,
only kid
he's
with
not
an,
wrong.
He's not wrong.
Wrong. Yeah, he's but not wrong.
I was the only kid with an Etch-A-Sketch where or like light bright. Remember that thing?
Uh-huh.
And he made me use regular lined paper like to draw. And I'm like, this is stupid. I could see through the paper.
Oh, that's funny.
He's like, I'm not paying $3 for you to light up your bright.
light up your bright.
With a cigarette hanging off his lip.
Two good stories right out of the gate.
That's good.
Wow.
They're very plausible.
Very plausible. Hmm. Hmm. All right. Any? Do you want to ask questions now or afterwards, Jessica?
I'm good for now, I think.
We've heard some stories.
All right. So let's go on to your next story.
Okay. So this was maybe, let me think. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I had
so
a...
So you were what, like 22?
Sure. live! I had a gig in Savannah, Georgia, which is like, if you've never been to Savannah, Georgia, it's like the coolest, creepiest, weirdest town ever. It's where the...
Forrest
the film,
Gump.
Yeah, that was there.
The bench scene.
The bench scene was filmed there. Midnight in the Good, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
I've
was
actually
there.
Eaten at one of the restaurants from that movie.
Good.
And saw the guy with the flies. I
Ew.
Saw him in person once back in the day.
It's a whole thing, like Spanish moss. Like you go to the cemeteries. Like the cemeteries are so beautifully creepy. Like everyone,
it's a beautiful city.
You just see like families that have died from like yellow fever, like just like days apart. It's crazy. There was. The oldest, apparently it's the oldest city in America because
really?
It was used as like a pirate port.
Oh,
and
like,
wow.
And like, you know, like the slaves built the streets of like cobblestone. So it's very dark and creepy and haunted. Wow. So they have all these like ghost tours and stuff. And so I remember I went with my friend Diana and we went on this haunted tour and this girl was like the host of the tour, but she looks like just like the sad like Hot Topic employee. And she's like, you guys ready for the paranormal to speak to you? And like you can drink in Savannah, like walk down the streets with booze, so it's all like, you know, rye liquor and daiquiris, and we're just like shit faced on this trolley. So we end up going to this house, and this house is the most haunted house in Savannah. And apparently there was a woman and her children who were during the day and they got like an axe to the head. You know, just something brutal. My stories are so dark. And so they never found out who killed this woman. And so apparently the police showed up and her dead head is like not dead yet. And so she whispers her husband's name. So the husband gets convicted. So they didn't know if she was calling out for her husband or if she was saying that he did it. So they hanged him in the square, you know, just guilty.
Just to be safe.
And then apparently after that, it turned into like another building, and then it was haunted. Then like one time it burned down, and so it's always been like something. So now it's just like this like weird like storage warehouse. And so we go in there, and they're like, okay, here, everyone, they pass out these EVP like things. And they say if the spirits try to get in touch with you, the light will turn green or it's going to stay red. So if temperature changes or whatever, it'll light up green.
What did that actually look like? Did it look pretty basic?
Kind of like a phone, but it was like a remote almost.
Yeah.
Like it had like two little knobs on it. It was like green and red. And then it would just like light up green and red. And
I want to look that up.
Yeah. Look it up. So for some weird reason, like, we're just walking through, and I'm like, this is stupid. Like, everything was red. And the girl's like, last week I saw the ghost of a dead girl in this window. And I'm like, shut up, Beth. So then this guy's like, you guys are pretty fun. I want to bring you all into this room. And we were like, okay. So we got, like, pulled away from the group, and we're in this, like, tiny, tiny room where there's, like, all these candles lit, and there's, like, all these people, and they've got, like, headphones on, and all this equipment, and we're just like, what is this? And they're like, oh, well, we come in here every night and we research this room every night because we always get different like data comes up every night, something different. And this different is a chair.
Different data.
And so this guy's like, he goes, would one of you like to sit in this chair? And I'm like, sure. So my friend Diana sits in the chair. He's like, oh, by the way, I'd left this out. It's the slave quarters of the house. Perfect. And so we start questioning the ghost. It's like, this is Steve. We've labeled the ghost named Steve. And so like Steve, Steve. Yeah, I don't know why.
He's a really casual ghost.
Well, I'm sure it was like Steven or something. You know, yeah.
He's like, boo, bro. Yeah.
And so they're like, Steve, are you there?
I was like, Steve.
Yeah, Steve. Yeah. You know, just a ghost named Steve.
Boo, what's up?
Yeah.
Boo.
What up, dude?
And so we're in the room. And so we're like, Steve, are you there? And the light turns green. We're like, well, okay, cool. And so I say, like, Steve, do you like my friend Diana? And the light turns green. And I go, is she your type? And it turns red. And then my friend Diana goes, Steve, are you gay? And the light turns green. And everyone in there was like, what? And they're like, the whole time. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's a dude named Steve hanging out in the slave quarters. Yeah. He likes that BBC. And so we get back on the trolley.
I'm sorry to be this person. BBC?
Big Black Cock.
Okay, cool. I'm sorry.
British Broadcasting Channel. What are you thinking?
Jessica knows. All right. Big Black Cock.
Big Black Cock. So we get back on the trolley. We're leaving. And the Hot Topic is like, did anybody experience anything? Diane and I are just shit-faced drunk in the bag. We're like, Steve's gay. She's like, well, I heard there was an experience. So we left Savannah, like, knowing that we outed a ghost, and maybe like solved a great mystery at the same time.
Wow. This sounds oddly like an episode of Bob's Burgers.
Does it?
To me.
Oh.
That's what I picture in my head. Diana's wearing bunny ears.
They talk about Big Black Cock on Bob's Burgers.
It's the number 5 combo.
Yeah, it's got to be a burger at some point.
Quick, Jessica, how old is someone in 5th grade? I don't know. What's BBC? 5. Big Black Cock.
Mediocre. Like, so quick.
Every time you guys say mediocre, I keep hearing Oprah. And I'm like, stop calling her meaty. She's a good woman with a proper message.
Wow, that's a strong story. Do you have any questions, Jessica, that you would like to ask?
Well, okay, Savannah, we would always go through there as a family. We would drive from North Carolina to Florida because I have family in both. So we'd go visit them. And we would always stop in Savannah only because it had the cheapest gas.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So, yeah. And I never thought of Savannah being anything else but a gas
town. A gas town? There must be nothing here.
Jesus, if you knew the amount of Big Black Cock in Savannah.
I would have made us stay longer, yeah. So I can't think of a town in the South being so, other than New Orleans, okay with you having an open container out on the street. That doesn't.
Well, that's a very.
It's
good
Las Vegas, Savannah, and. There's one more.
Nobody says it's Las Vegas, New Orleans, and Savannah.
It's Las Vegas, New Orleans, Savannah.
How do you know that?
What?
I like it if he's lying. I don't care. I like it that he's holding says that. The line on that.
Like yeah, a bar trivia savant. You know, that's amazing.
But Savannah, you know what? That's because I've been to Savannah. I used to play Savannah all the time. And I think you're making a good point, Jessica. But on the other hand, a lot of people do roam around Savannah a lot from restaurant to restaurant to bar. So I might almost... But I'm always bad at this game. I might almost believe Justin on
Do
that.
They let you have open drinks in Myrtle Beach?
What the?
What's Myrtle Beach?
Fucking
only if you're eating mediocre out of a jar.
Near the beach, I guess. Why do you bring a Myrtle Beach?
Because it's a very like party beachy town. I can see if they do it there, maybe okay, Savannah. Because I can see definitely it would be more like it's Las Vegas, New Orleans, Myrtle Beach. Not Savannah.
All right, well, when we come back around to them, we'll think about what we're saying. And would you like to start your?
You don't have story? Any. You sure. Don't have any holes
well,
in this story at
I
all.
I do feel like. I do feel like the Steve thing was very funny. So I don't think he could. I don't think you would make that up, Steve. I think you know that is just so silly that it's. I think it could be true.
Right.
So. And there is really nothing else to do in Savannah. I played Savannah once, and the middle guy and I went and pretended to shop for a car together as a married couple. That's how sometimes you can get in Savannah. You can get, especially if you're there, like, because back in the day, you'd be there from, like, Wednesday through Sunday, so you had to kill some time. So I'm going to say, I'm not going to say if it's true or not, but I'm going to say it seems plausible. I thought he jumped around on his story a little bit too much.
Right.
With trying to remember
Think
things.
About a ghost, Steve. Oh.
I've seen a ghost before. I told you that. I've seen a ghost before, so that's why I believe it. Have you seen a ghost before?
I've definitely
seen You've seen a ghost?
I've seen a ghost before. Really? Well, I've felt a ghost before.
That was your dad touching your dick.
Ghost dad.
Starring Bill Cosby.
Oh my God!
It did. That's right.
Yes.
One time when I have two boys, and one time my ex husband was holding my little baby when he at the time was a baby, was like I don't know 3 months old or 6 months old, and he had on underwear, and you know the fly was kind of open or whatever, but you didn't really see anything, but he was just holding the baby, and then the baby wiggled. And it fell a little bit onto his lap, and his mouth went right
oh
on
my
his
God.
Dick.
Oh, no!
And there was this moment where we're all like, what? Don't tell anyone! And that's why I'm telling it on the podcast. It was like one of those moments
that's
where,
great.
Like, if he was ever, like, you know, hooked up to a lie detector machine. And
nothing happened. Like, it's a dick,
happened.
Not a magic wand.
Everybody, no,
it's so, oh, no, culturally, it's so funny how we're like that. Like, everybody's yeah. like... I've touched a dick by accident before. I was fine.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You were by fine accident? Or fine?
It was fine. It was
by
fine.
Accident.
I backhanded it like an angry Frenchman.
Well, that makes sense. So go along with your story, please.
I love this premise, by the way, this Thank like you. Telling people stories and then trying to decide if I'm telling the truth or not reminds me yeah. of my entire bar experience.
Oh yeah.
That's how I survived at bars. Okay, so I moved from Egypt to America when I was 5 or mm-hmm. 5 or 6. And there's a lot of things in America that we take for granted, like jumping jacks are not an internationally known thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's not.
Are you serious?
People don't just do jumping jacks all over the world.
They're jumping Jeffs.
I don't know what they could maybe jumping jumping Saeed. I don't know what they call them. I don't know what they call me. We didn't have them in Egypt. We didn't have jumping right. jacks. So I got to America. I'm in school, and they're like, "Hey, do jumping jacks." I'm like, "Well, I don't know what you're doing." And they're like, "Oh, this kid's he's special needs." And I'm like, "I'm not special needs. I'm just from Egypt. Like, what are you?" And then they separated from me the regular kids, and then they put me in this like special needs physical education class. And it was just me and 11 special needs kids. And it was like one immigrant, 11 special needs
and
kids.
And could they all do jumping jacks?
Well, it was as good as me. I learned faster. My learning curve was faster. Okay. But in the beginning, we were at about the same level.
Okay.
To be fair to the school. But I met a kid there whose name was Sharif, and his mom set up a play date. And after she got to know me, Sharif was a gentle kid and his mom dressed him up really fancy. And I kind of looked like a feral kid. And in my neighborhood, we lived in a poor neighborhood. And when the mom brought this kid over, it was a school that had a poor side and a wealthy side. Mm-hmm. Sharif was from the wealthy side and we lived in the poor side. So we'd make our own toys. Like if somebody bought a washer, dryer, and then we had this huge box to play with, there's this hill that was all long grass. And we'd sit in these boxes and slide down the hill. And when this kid came over with his mom and we had the play date, she looked at me and she goes, oh, wow. Now she's seeing me on a weekend. And she goes, this kid looks rough. So she looks at me and she goes, Tamer, please play gentle with Sharif. You know, you guys can go play, but please, you know, be gentle. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I was almost like, I'm buzzing. Uh-huh. And he was like standing very still in this perfect white suit. So then I go, come on, Sharif, we're going to slide down the hill. That's what we used to call it, sliding down the hill. And he goes, that was what we called it.
As opposed to.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Jumping jacks?
So, but we called it. I mean, we had a name.
Do they have sliding down the hill where you were originally from?
Well, no. It was
a pyramid, all right?
It was a pyramid, exactly. So here's this kid, this gentle boy in this white suit, and it is matching one suit from top to finish, top to bottom. And he sees these other wild kids sliding down the hill in these washer and dryer boxes. And then he goes, I would like to try. And I'm like, aww. And I put him in the box. And the kids got so excited that Sharif was going to try that we all shoved the box.
Oh, yeah.
And it went down the hill faster and hit a bump and then landed. And then it just stopped in the middle of the hill. And we're like, well, how'd that happen? And then we hear this, and this huge scream. And it turned out that the box had hit air. Uh-huh. And landed in a sprinkler. The sprinkler had gone.
I swear to God, if this ends up with your dad touching Sharif's dick, I'm going to lose my shit.
He's like, I've got this. I've done this before.
Listen, they call me Tamer the Butt Rammer. The next day, a kid shows up to school with a bloody asshole.
It went up his butt?
It went up his ass, yeah. And then we were kids. We weren't strong enough to carry him. So he's got a white suit. When she gave him to me, he was in a perfectly white suit.
What is it with you in white suit?
I don't know what it is. So we're dragging him back because we couldn't lift him. We weren't strong enough. And we dragged him all the way back to my mom's house. We knock on the garage door because that was the door to the kitchen. And then they come in and I go, Sharif got hurt. And his mom comes out and he's covered in like grass and mud. And then this huge red Rorschach test on his asshole.
Did it really go up his ass?
I think it went in his asshole, but not all the way up his asshole.
And then
but
it turned on.
It definitely went.
Was it like, what did the sprinkler look like? I'm sorry.
You mean after?
No, was it one of those like big ones where it's like?
It was. Yeah, exactly. It was one of those. So I don't think the whole thing went up his asshole, but I think enough of it went. Yeah.
Wow. He landed on his bum.
He landed. Yeah, it was like the perfect.
That's what we called it, landing on your bum.
Landing on your bum? Are you British? Were you born
in... Yeah, what is that?
What?
Yeah, what bum?
You're just a melting pot of sorts, aren't you? The cloth of America over here.
Every time Big Ben stuck 12, I knew it was time to smoke crack.
Oh, wow.
That sounded like Lady and the Tramp.
Did it?
A little bit.
Two boys, one with a sprinkler up his ass. Where's the parallel?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that spaghetti scene from Lady and the Tramp.
I was like, what the fuck?
If the other dog's nose was an asshole and the meatball was a sprinkler.
Exactly.
This is the night. It's a beautiful night. Oh. And they call it butthole no change.
So did he have to go to the hospital?
Yeah, he did.
And did he show up at school again, or?
He did. He did eventually. Yeah. He did eventually show up at school.
Was he out of school for a long time after this?
I don't think he was out of school for a long time. I think he healed pretty quickly, but I do think he got stitches.
Yeah. Both your stories have stitches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was an aggressive kid.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I was like a car with two gas pedals and no brakes.
And were you guys allowed to play together again after that?
It took a while. I think his mom blamed it all on me. What the fuck? And then, well, it was all my fault. So it took her time, but because my mom was such a sweet person and such a nice woman, like I think most of my friends that I got through other people's moms were because my mom was super cool. And I was misunderstood, but my mom was like a mom of the block type of a person.
So I know that your mother is Jewish and your father is Arab.
Muslim, yeah.
I'm sorry, Muslim. No, sorry,
they're both Arab. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they're both Arab.
Yeah. They're both from Egypt, but on her side, there's roots from Spain and Morocco, and they're Sephardic Jews. Uh-huh. On his side, they're Greek and Egyptian, like from Alexandria, and they have like Coptic Orthodox Christianity, Greek Orthodoxy, and Islam.
Oh, wow.
So like we literally had every religion under one roof in our house. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
I've been to Alexandria.
Have you? That's so cool. Wow.
It's a port city.
Yeah, it is a port city. That's, why are you saying it like it's a normal thing? Like I've been to Alexandria.
Like
they have a happy
cities.
Hour.
Savannah, Alexandria.
It is insane.
I have some crazy Egypt stories. But
you want to hear my favorite Egypt story? Huh. The cab drivers in Egypt are really amazing.
Oh, no, they're not.
They're nuts. God. So my favorite story is this guy, a comic, who took a taxi in Egypt, and he got in the taxi, and the guy like ran through a red light, and he goes, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Sir, please relax. I'm professional." Mm-hmm. And then he gets to another right. It's red again. He drives through it again. And he's like, "Dude, what are you doing?" And he's like, "Sir, please. I told you, I'm professional. Relax, please." And then he gets to a green light, and he stops. And he goes, "I don't understand this. You go through red lights. You stop at green lights. What's your problem?" He goes, "Sir, I'm stopping in case another professional comes across."
That shit happens in Egypt. The traffic in Egypt is everyone's just driving for themselves.
Yeah. There's no lanes.
Right. It's just like.
They even do Morse code with their horn. There's like you could call people different bad words with the type of honking.
Oh yeah. I like that.
It's cool.
Wow. That is cool.
I do.
Yeah.
Because there's we have like a fuck you honk.
Yeah.
And we but it's
all
not
we have
as
is
clear.
Fuck you. We don't have anything else. Like what if I wanted to say
we
something?
There's a toot.
Oh, that's true.
For like a excuse me.
Like hurry up.
The toot is like bitch. Yeah. Every honk should have like a bad word associated with it. Different volume.
Well, you guys came in with two very strong stories, and I want all of them to be true. But as far as Justin's story, I'm gonna say, because the first story was about the zipper.
Yeah.
So. I'm going to say the zipper one happened, but you weren't there and didn't see it.
Oh.
I'm going to say that because the ghost one is so ridiculous that I think it could happen. Yeah. I could see something like that happening.
I don't think that the ghost one is real.
Wait, that's not a pick.
What do you
That's
mean?
Not a pick. That was like a soccer game. That was like a time.
Right.
We all get participation trophies, okay?
Okay.
She's saying that the first one is a lie.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Oh, you are saying.
Yeah.
That he stole the story from somebody else.
Okay, gotcha.
There's that anger right, you were talking right, about all of a sudden. Yeah.
That's not very British of you.
So what do you
Righto.
What do you say?
I think that the ghost thing is bullshit. It is sure as hell not New Orleans, Las Vegas, Savannah for open containers and partying. And it sounds like a Justin story with a Hot Topic girl, but.
So the reason why.
You know me too well.
So the reason why you don't believe the ghost story is because there's no way they'd have open containers in Savannah.
Right, and it's a gas town.
By the way, she's almost always way more correct than I am when picking who's lying and who's not. So,
it could be
she's good at it. Yeah,
that's a good point.
So you're saying the second story is
not
true?
True
is not true.
I think that the zipper is true.
You think the zipper is true?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You want to take a guess on this, you guys, Andrew?
I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I think either of them could be true or either of them could be a friend told you, because they both seem like so out there, like so crazy enough to where it's like I having the thing fly off, and then also like you could have had a friend come to school the next day and be like, dude, the craziest shit happened, you should have came. And then on the other one, I feel like a friend could have been like, hey, I was in this thing. So I really don't know. I feel like both of them could be true or by someone else.
What does your gut tell you, man?
Fuck, flip a coin. I want the Savannah one to be true, just so that Jessica would be like, the fucking open container bullshit. Like, that's the only reason.
Okay. All right, so it's you against me. You two against me. Yeah. All right.
How about you, Tamara? Do you want to throw in a guess here?
Yeah, it's the ghost one as well. And I think it's because of the name Steve.
You think it's not?
I think there's a level of formality when you're a dead person. And I think when you're a dead person, you don't just give a first name. It takes a lot of time to get through to the other side. And I think you want people to know your first and last name because there's lots of dead Steves.
Well, but let's say, because we were just talking about how my real name is Felicitas and not Felicia. Point. So if I, when I die and I come back and I'm a ghost, you think I'd be telling everyone, hey, it's Felicitas?
Yeah.
I would. It's Felicia.
I would, yeah.
That movie Coco.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be like, remember my name. I'm not
remember
here anymore.
Me.
Well, I think there could be ghosts named Steve.
From what, 1818?
I've never met a ghost named Steve.
I just can't even imagine a guy named Steve existing in 1818. Steven, yes. Like
why does every ghost have to be from like the 1800s? Why couldn't he be from the 70s? You know what I mean? It's Steve.
Was
with
Steve
the
from the
1870s?
Yeah. Steve wasn't from the fucking 70s.
I mean, you said slave stuff. What?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he still could have been late, you know. When did slavery go away?
1800s.
Jesus, no one knows the answer.
The Emancipation Proclamation.
1865?
Sure.
With that said, that we don't know that, and I'm going to look that up afterwards. Nice. So what is the real truth, Justin?
The real truth is... Sorry, Jessica. It's Savannah, Georgia.
Savannah's true?
Yep.
You're a little
twat. I can't believe it. I'm never right.
Felicidades got it correctly.
That's right. I'm never right. Oh, wow.
Damn it. Wow. Damn it.
Yep.
I should have known.
I twisted the carnival story. The carnival story did happen, but without like a horrible crash.
So you got it right. Oh.
It was, I went with a friend of mine and we got on the turn. You know, the, like, what's it called? The,
spin. What is that?
The
is that the one where it sucks you to the side?
Squirrely whirls.
Gravity.
Gravitron.
That thing.
And we were like going up and I was like, oh shit. And I stuck my hands out and I slapped my nose. And my nose just like bust all over.
Oh my God.
I just had blood going everywhere.
And all over everybody else's face.
Yeah.
And nobody at carnivals, you'd be surprised, they don't have fucking napkins. So
oh my God.
Couldn't find a napkin, so I just walk around with like crusty blood all over my face.
Like a party animal from the 90s.
And then his dad came over and touched my dick. Yeah, it was really weird.
Wow, so now we go over to Tamar.
Yeah.
And Tamar's stories were about his popping a wheeling and crushing his penis on the curb or on the bike.
It's both about stitches. It's one butt stitches, one penis stitches.
Every story I've ever told involves stitches. Yeah.
And that your father touched your penis. God, that. And then the other one is the sliding down the hill with someone.
That's what we called it.
With Sharif getting.
Want to go slide down the hill? That's what we'd say.
Sliding down the hill, actually.
I would literally knock on the neighbor's door and go, can Adrian and Nathan come sliding down the hill?
Like
that's a toughie, though, because I can't imagine that the whole thing went up his butt. The whole sprinkler up his
I could see, because I'm picturing like one of those old metal ones, like on fields.
Right.
Not that, but just the like,
Yeah, they just pop up.
And they had like prongs on the end of it.
Yeah. And I think he like landed on it. Maybe it didn't go
in his butt, but
right.
Like it hurt his butt.
Yeah. He hurt his boom boom.
But you said when it landed, it didn't move.
The box stopped moving.
So he slid into it?
There's a mound. He got air and then landed and then it mysteriously stopped in the middle of the hill and then 2 seconds of silence and then like a goat like shriek.
Right, and this hill.
Yeah. I like the air quotes. Podcast quotes. This hill podcast quotes.
was a grass hill.
Long grass, yeah.
Hence the sprinkler, I suppose.
And long grass is slippery.
So, I'm going to say that the first story is true. Because I want your dad to have touched your penis. Oh, is that wrong?
No, yeah, that's
it
wrong.
It wasn't in a sexual way, so I feel comfortable in saying that. It was just in a, like, because my mother was an immigrant, too, and I remember one time my parents got divorced, and my dad had custody of my brother, and my mom had me, and then my dad brought my brother over for my mother's birthday, and then my mother got really mad at my dad for some fucking reason. This is in Berlin, Germany, and my dad took my brother, and as he was walking down the highway, my mother shouted out, "Fucker mother." And I was mortified that she didn't know how to say motherfucker correctly. So I could see where
fucker mother.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say the first story is true and the second story is not true.
Well, I do think that your thinking is very correct. Like, the first one sounds so like it could be real. Because you could just picture an immigrant family member doing that. Or a crackhead mom. Either way.
Yeah.
But the thing that I feel like you pushed the fancy boy friend a little bit more, make it seem more outlandish.
Yeah, because no mother would bring a kid with a white suit.
Right, to go playing on the weekend, to go sliding down the hill, as they called it.
Unless it was after church. Was it after church?
It was not after church, but she didn't know we were going to go slide down the hill.
And what was
she didn't know it was an option.
What was their last name? What was his last name?
Matar.
So she was Mrs. Matar.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's true.
What does that have to do with anything, Jessica? That was the weirdest thing ever.
No.
No, I don't believe the Mrs. Matar.
No, because that sounds like when they're half horse, half...
That's a centaur. Mrs. Centaura.
A Centauria.
Her last name's Matara. Okay, yeah,
she's
a unicorn.
Yeah,
she's centaur.
Full on half horse woman.
That's not a human name.
But now everyone knows that Sharif Matar out there somewhere.
Yeah, that's
has,
true.
Hey,
has
an
unfortunate
scar.
Hi, Miss Matara. I want to go sliding down the hill.
Oh, no.
How many kids do you have?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to say that one is real, just because I think you tried to make it seem more outlandish.
Interesting.
Wow. What about you, Justin? What are your thoughts on his stories?
Well, I think kids are terrible. And
yes, they are.
I mean, I honestly can say that the first story seems... like it could be true, because
right.
I feel like that dad, the like, and it's so like gruesome, and I think that's something that like sticks with you for a kid. Well, both stories are both like traumatizing. However, but like with the box story, I can see that, because I was like, when I was a kid, I played outside all the time too, and I remember hurting a friend of mine accidentally, and then. I just have the image of, like, I see the grass and it's slick and I see the box, but then I see the bounce, and then I think the detail of the box stopping.
I know.
Like, because that's such an image that I will never get out of my head now.
I know, it's
just
not.
So I think the box one is true.
And you say long grass. Now, you said this was not East LA, but this was in...
La Puente.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't rain very often, so how slick was that grass?
It could have been springtime.
I mean,
it rains in the spring.
Yeah,
we
try.
But I say that one's true. I say that one's true.
So the box one, you guys say. How about you, Andrew?
My assumption is that the first one happened, but it happened to... You have a brother, right?
No, only child.
Okay.
I
haven't talked to Tamara in fucking about a year. I want to say it happened to a friend in the neighborhood, because you couldn't have been the only person that thought that chick was hot. Like, it's just impossible. So it could have been a buddy in the neighborhood, and then the other one, I think it did happen. I will say the second one's true.
The box. Okay.
The first one you got from like Wonder Years.
Just because, I did the same thing. Me and my brothers had a four wheeler, and we just like rope up like a piece of like wood and drag each other around and like slide right, around grass right. all the time.
It's
so
either bloody dick
typical.
Or bloody ass.
Which is true, Tamer? What's
true? The true story is actually the first.
What?
Yes!
Yeah, my
There's
dad.
No way
my,
I got
yeah.
two of them running wow. in the podcast.
Yeah. This is bullshit. This is bullshit.
I do my queen wave.
Oh,
wow,
nice job.
Yay.
Yes. You guys yes. caused this.
But there was a kid. There was a kid in a white suit whose suit I ruined. But it was we were playing golf in a park. And I'm like, stand
that's
back.
That's what you called it, golf in the park.
That's what we call it, golf in the park. And then he was standing beside me. And I'm like, back up. And he's like, I'm back. And then I swung the club and hit him in the jaw.
Oh.
And then he went home with blood all over. So that, I just... And what the long grass
you,
was a real thing. We really
what,
did slide down the hill.
How did you
hill.
Come up with the box took air and then it just yeah, stopped?
Because we did do that before and it did land and the sprinkler went through the box, but it missed an
oh.
asshole. And everybody was like, oh my God.
Like, it went between the legs.
It went like it was lower back.
Oh.
Like
oh
just
God.
Missed their asshole.
Did you guys still keep doing it though afterwards?
No, we slowed down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We slowed down.
Wow.
But it was like this thing whenever somebody got a new dryer, a new washer, we all lived in this block. So we'd be like, a big box. Ah. And then we forgot.
Right.
And we'd start over.
We did that too because my dad was in the Army and he was stationed in Fort Ord and they have ice plants, which are amazing to slide down in.
Ice
anyway.
Plants,
yeah,
like
ice
where
plants.
They make ice?
No, they're like these. That's what I thought. I don't know what they're called. We call them ice plants, but they're just like some kind of succulent that grows on a hillside. But when you break it, like they're like
aloe.
Like aloe, when you break them
oh,
up, they ooze a lot. So
yeah.
when they go down, when you went down the hill, it was like sliding on
fast.
Ice plants. That's what we called them. Anyway, this has been a.
It's like, when were you born?
How dare you?
They still have ice plants.
How dare you?
She didn't say she was playing in the tar pits.
Yeah, I know.
She said it's like an ice
plant. When the ice plants bloomed, the children could play.
In the year of our Lord, ice plant.
How dare you ask
what
me
a bountiful
openly
ice
like that.
Plant harvest we have this year. We must thank the gods.
Well, you guys have been so great with your stories. Is there how can people follow you, and what do you want to shout out, and how can people follow you?
Tamer Catan on all social media, on Twitter, Instagram, I'm Tamer Cat, and then TamerCatan.com is my website. That's the best place to go for shows. Please come out. I just moved back to LA and love being home.
Great. And how about you, Justin?
You can follow me on Twitter at Just Martindale, Instagram Just Martindale, and you can catch me every Thursday on these What the Fashion.
So
Snapchat
funny.
Discovery.
Wonderful.
Great.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And I would like to throw a special thank you to Andrew, who's always such a great producer, and he keeps us honest on everything that we're supposed to do, and I would like to thank you for that, Andrew.
Andrew Rose.
And Andrew, would you like to say something about...
Yeah, you can find me everywhere, one Andrew Rose across all social media. Also, if you like the show, please give us a review, a rate, all that fun stuff. Any questions, comments, concerns, also go to you can email us at theliarsclub1@gmail.com. And then also, real quick, I just wanted to do this. Mr. Earl Scaithel was on our podcast not too long ago, and Miss Wellington, Miss Jessica, was on his, what is it, Inappropriate Earl. It's a fantastic episode. I'm listening to it as we speak, so go and listen to it. Hashtag mediocre.
Anyway, I have been Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington. And you've been lied to.
Hello, ladies and gentle sirs. This is Andrew Rose, the producer of The Liars Club. I just wanted you lovely folks to follow our awesome hosts. And that would be Jessica Wellington and Felicia Michaels. And you can follow them on Twitter at Felicia Michaels, F-E-L-I-C-I-A, and Jess Wellington, 2. That is the number 2. Yeah.
Thanks, guys, for coming by and sharing your stories with us here at the Liars Club.
And you've been lied to.